Well, good evening, everybody. My joy and my pleasure to preach tonight. My name's Rob, and I'm part of the staff team in this church. Let me revise that. I didn't think it was much of a joy and privilege to be preaching tonight, actually, because I didn't have a lot of time to repair this sermon. I was getting down about it. I don't know about you. Do you get down like this? I was just going kind of trudging through and realizing I wouldn't get enough time to get stuck into this. And then I remember, hang on, preaching on thankfulness. And that's probably not the best attitude to have when you're preparing a sermon on thankfulness. And I've got a ton of reasons, actually, it hit me. I've got a ton of reasons to be thankful for preaching tonight. You know, I'm going to be speaking the Word of God to you. The Word of God says, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes and exposes people as to how they really are and who they really are. That's a wonderful, wonderful reason for me to be thankful for preaching. I'm going to preach to people, and I know because a lot of you have told me, who have actually changed because they've heard these sermons on attitudes. It actually changed your life. You've been changed and you've taken God's prompting to change in a particular way. That's another reason to be fantastically excited and thankful to be preaching. But, you know, I just want to bring that to church tonight. Bring that honesty that I really wasn't that thankful to be here. What have you brought tonight to church? What's something that you know just immediately that you want to be, need to be, or to be thankful for? You know, you all presumably came in cars or feet to get here tonight. You have clothes on your back and a meal to look forward to or to have just enjoyed. What's something that you know just immediately you ought, need, want to be thankful for? When you start thinking like that or asking that question, it gets quite close to the bone. It actually starts to hit a nerve because, well, let me tell you why. I'll give you an example from last week. On Thursday night, Camille and I ordered Thai takeaway. And from the moment that I rang to the moment that I had the food in my hand, there was a grand total of an hour and 20 minutes. Now, I preached on patience a little while ago. So, you know, there was that conviction of the Holy Spirit straight away. But it wasn't so much an incident of patience, let me tell you. It was actually an incident that exposed an attitude of thankfulness or lack thereof. Let me tell you why. I was driving home after an hour and 20 minutes from unnamed Thai restaurant, and I thought, you know what? Just imagine, Rob, imagine you've got a friend from the two-thirds world looking in on this situation. Now, I say that phrase, two-thirds world, because you know how people talk about Africa like it's the third world? That's a phrase that kind of got developed a while ago to think about, like, the first world, where the first world, apparently, developed nations, then the second world are developing nations, and then the third world are these impoverished nations that aren't developing at all, right? Now, the issue with that terminology is that people start going, oh, right, so the first third of the world are developed nations, and the next third of the world are developing nations, and the next third of the world are these impoverished nations, and that's not true. Now, we're the minority, people. We are, at the most, the third of the world. The rest, the two-thirds of the world, are actually impoverished. So, that's a terminology thing. I was imagining a friend from the two-thirds world. Not that I have one, but I'm just imagining him kind of, or her, speaking into my situation, saying, Rob, how are you feeling? I'm feeling a bit impatient and unthankful. Okay, so you've created this situation though, haven't you? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you have food, don't you, in your cupboard? Yes, I've got food. How many meal combinations do you have? Oh, 34. okay, so you've got food, yes. So you're going out to get food. You've already got food. Oh, well, I don't want that food. I want other food. Oh, I see. So you've created your own problem. Yes. It's very insightful of you, imaginary two-thirds world friend. Like, it struck me that I was so unthankful. And if I was thankful for the 34 meal combinations already in my pantry, I might have a completely different attitude about waiting an hour and 20 minutes for food. This thankfulness overwhelms so many other emotions, reactions. That's what it kind of gets to the real core of it. And I've laid my cards on the table there tonight, to be honest, about the struggle that I had in that moment. I'm sure you can think of it, one for yourselves in your own lives, in your own situation. It's a challenge to be thankful for all that we have. But, can I say, being thankful for stuff isn't enough. We've also got to be thankful to someone. Because being thankful for, and leaving it there, is both grammatically and spiritually wrong. Those English teachers and mothers will tell us, you can't just be thankful for something. Being thankful for needs an object. You're thankful for something to someone. So grammatically it doesn't work just to say, oh, I'm thankful for the good weather. Yeah, but who are you thanking? What are you thanking? So it's thankfulness to as well as thankfulness for. But spiritually, being thankful for makes no sense and is wrong. We need to be thankful to God for stuff. This is what Israel, God's people, hundreds of years ago, knew and understood and lived out. And I want you right now to do a little role play with me, to act as if you are God's people, Israel, and I'm leading this psalm. Can you turn to page 626 in your Bible? Even if you don't have a Bible handy, this refrain is exactly the same words again and again. Page 626, and this is Psalm 136. Just hear what God's people did with their stuff, with the achievements they had made, things that had happened to them, the stuff they had. Listen to what they did with that. So, here we go. As I said, if you don't have a Bible, you'll pick it up. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him alone, to Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the desert, who struck down great kings, who killed mighty kings, Sion's king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to His servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate, and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Did you get it? 26 times. God's people ascribe to no one else and nothing else. Everything they ascribe to God. His love endures forever. That's why we've got this stuff. That's why we've been raised out of Egypt and rescued, and now we have this land to go and live in. That's why we have the victories. It wasn't us. It's God, whose love endures forever. It's just such a comprehensive list. It's unmistakable that they believe. Not only can they be thankful for, but they can be thankful for all this stuff to God. They had so much to be thankful for, but more than that, they knew who they were thankful to. I wonder, how is your list? Is it as comprehensive as this? Because this starts way back when the world was created, goes right through their history, and then is looking to just little things like food for every creature and the Lord of heaven, the big things. How are you going in being thankful for all you have? Acts 17 says, God gives life and breath and everything else to all people. All you have is from God. But even this is not enough. This is not how to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. You won't cultivate an attitude of thankfulness by acting more thankful or giving credit where credit is due. You won't cultivate an attitude of thankfulness until you thank God for Jesus. When you grasp how much He has given you in Jesus, and you thank Him for that. Because remember what we said about attitudes. Remember what these last 5 weeks have been teaching about attitudes. It starts in the heart, doesn't it? Attitude is the thing that you have before you say or do anything. Attitude determines what you do or say. An attitude is not about right behavior. So, just changing your perspective on life, or acting more thankful more of the time, won't magically create in you an attitude of thankfulness. And it won't eradicate an attitude of unthankfulness or ungratefulness. Only a long gaze at Jesus, only a sincere digestion of all Jesus is, will do that. So let's do a little bit of that tonight. Have a bit of a stare and gaze at Jesus and a little bit of a sincere digestion of what He did. Flip over to Hebrews 12. We're going to have a history lesson to start with. The little incident that the writer of the Hebrews is referring to goes way back to the people of God, around the time that God gave Moses and His people the Ten Commandments. Just picture the scene with me, would you? God says, I'm going to show up on this mountain. I'm going to meet with you, Moses, representing my people. When God shows up, what do you expect happens? Man, there was lightning and thunder and fire. It must have been an extraordinarily awesome sight. And God says, well, there are conditions, because you know what? I'm perfect. I'm holy. I just don't show up and we meet face to face. So you got to go up, Moses, just you, I've appointed you. You can't let anyone touch this mountain. You can't even let an animal touch this mountain, otherwise you need to stone. And Israel gets what it's like when God shows up. They get what it's like to meet with God. Because they're going to Moses, oh please, don't let him speak to us. Or we'll die. Exodus 20:19, they say to Moses, this is what they say, Moses, speak to us yourself, we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Serious business when God shows up. They're terrified. We heard in our reading, even Moses was terrified. But that idea of terror, fear, is an interesting one. Maybe it's you're reacting even now. In yourselves to that. It doesn't make sense, you know, maybe it doesn't feel right for you. How can Moses, how can Israelites feel fearful of God? That's not right. Maybe you don't like to think of God as someone who should be feared. Let me put it another way. I commit a crime, I go to the magistrate. Now, do I fear the magistrate because I think he's going to hurt me, torture me, inflict pain on me? No, but I'm still fearful. Why? Because I know what I've done. I know that when I get there, He's going to expose me. The truth's going to come out and I cannot run and I cannot hide. That's why you fear. That's why I fear when I'm before that magistrate. That's why these people, Israel, feared in God's presence, because they knew they had nowhere to go. Once God shows up, He shows you who you truly are. And it was so fitting and it was so right, because as Naomi read, God is a consuming fire. Wow. I mean, that's my problem. That's your problem. That when God shows up, that we get consumed by Him, because this is so glorious and awesome and perfect and holy and righteous. And that's why these words in Hebrews 12 are just so stunning, so revolutionary. The first sentence gives it away. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that's burning with fire. You have not come to a mountain. That's amazing that we aren't like the Israelites and we don't have to approach with all this cowering and trembling. Where have we come to instead? To whom have we come to instead? Verse 22, but, oh, that's a glorious word, but, it goes on, you have come to God. Later on, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. This is extraordinary. This is the beautiful act of God to meet us. No more mountains, no more cowering in fear, no more mediation. Me as a person of God, and then this Moses dude who speaks up for me and communicates back messages. None of that. You have come, the Bible says, to God. You have come to God through Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. What does that mean? Very quickly. This new covenant was achieved on the cross. When my sin, your sin, was judged in the body of Christ. He died for the sins of the world. When He died in my place, in your place, that judgment, that fear that we should have in God's presence because we're not right, because we've been exposed, because we've been sinful and we can't hide, that fear and that judgment is gone, such that we get on the cross Christ's perfection and He sees us. God now sees us through Christ's eyes. We are perfect. That's the new covenant. So instead of mountains, instead of mediators like Moses, instead of cowering in fear, you get God. If you actually believe that, you get Jesus. You get everything. You get everything you need. And amazingly enough, here's a question that I think a lot of people ask. How do I worship God acceptably? What's He happy with? You're told right here, at the end of verse 28, when you worship God through Jesus, you're worshiping acceptably. He goes yes to that kind of worship. Can you see then why the writer of the Hebrews concludes all this by saying, let us be thankful. Because in Jesus we have all we need. And everything after that's kind of a bonus, isn't it? I mean, Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. Because God's given us Jesus. He's everything we need. We've met with God. We've come to God. And then we've got clothes, food, and family, and jobs, and relationships. Jesus plus nothing is everything. But everything minus Jesus is nothing. Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. And this is really the only starting point. Thanking God for Jesus is the only starting point to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And I'll tell you why. I have seen thankful, grateful Christians turn into thankless, ungrateful Christians the moment their stuff got taken away. I've seen thankful, grateful Christians turn into thankless, ungrateful Christians, the moment their stuff got taken away. So being thankful to God for stuff just isn't enough. You've got to be thankful to God for Jesus. He's the one who remains when your stuff is gone. And I'm not talking about like a major crisis. You might not suffer a hurricane or a bushfire. You might not suffer major loss. But when you suffer a bit, are you still thankful? If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. This is why this whole thing about thankfulness, and please, if you hear anything, hear this really clearly. Attitude of thankfulness is not about giving credit where credit's due. It's not about seeing the glass as half full rather than half empty. It's not about perspective and being positive. No. This is about nothing less than starting with the lavish gift of Jesus to you. And you know from there, everything else could go. And you would still have all you need because you have Jesus. He's the unshakable gift, especially in suffering. Especially in suffering. Because how hard is it to be thankful when you suffer? Very. How hard is it to be thankful when you suffer and you don't even know that you've been given this unshakable, wonderful gift? Pretty much impossible. Can I encourage you, if you are suffering right now, you might not be able to thank God for anything but Jesus, and that is pleasing to Him. The great thing about this stuff, about thankfulness, is that it's the starting point for everyone. Everyone on any end of the spectrum can fit in here. Think about, if you're a thankful person, if you're a grateful Christian, awesome. Keep going. Strengthen that thankfulness. If you're a thankless, ungrateful Christian, I think you've probably got enough to think about. Hey, return back to just thanking God for Jesus. Forget about your stuff. Forget about the lack of your stuff. And just thank God for Jesus. My guarantee to you is the other stuff won't be so important. Maybe tonight you're here and you don't believe in Jesus. And this stuff about thankfulness doesn't make a lot of sense. It's okay. But you have the opportunity to still be thankful, to understand what God has done for you through Jesus, for you to accept Him. And for many of us here tonight, we know people who don't believe this. And I want to equip you or encourage you when they say to you, I'm so thankful. You know, I'm really thankful for this, for that day. What a great holiday. I'm so grateful. You've probably heard that said by your non-Christian friends a lot. But don't you just want to fill in their gaps for them? Don't you just want to God, thankful to God? They don't say at the moment. Don't you want to fill that gap and fill that gap for yourselves first, of course, if that gap's there for you, and you're not giving God that. But what a wonderful opportunity it is to fill that gap and to pray when they're going through a crisis. And if you know lots of non-Christian friends, one of them at least at the moment is going through a crisis. To pray that you can share the unshakable gift of Jesus when everything else shakes in their life. It's often the moment where they will cry out. Because they can't be thankful for anything else. Job's not going well. Relationship's going crap. They don't have what they want. You know what? They could have Christ. And so get everything they need. I'm gonna finish there, but I want to encourage you to listen to someone else who's going to be speaking up the front tonight. Kevin's come along tonight to share a testimony of thankfulness. He's going to be thanking us for praying for him during an illness recently, but he's also going to be giving thanks and glory to God. Let me just preface it by saying this is what it means to have an attitude of thankfulness and actually live it out. So I look forward to hearing what God says through Kevin later on. Let me pray. But Father, thank you. It seems like such a small thing to say, but it's rich with meaning. Thank you for all you are and all you've done. Lord, we need a change of attitude. We need you to change our hearts from being thankless and ungrateful to not even having eyes to see how much you've given us, to only being thankful for the stuff and not to Jesus. We need you to change our hearts. We need you to change our attitude so that everything we have, we're like the Israelites. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And that when we don't have stuff, or when we suffer, we know we still have Jesus, and we thus can be thankful. This is hard to do, Lord, because our world and indeed the whole of life programs us against thankfulness to you. And help us rebel against that by your Holy Spirit's power. Help us live so differently that people notice our thankful lives and we get to point them to you. We pray through Jesus, the mediator of our new covenant. Amen.